Welcome to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church in Harvest, Alabama. We invite you into our sanctuary as we dive into God's Word with our pastor, Dr. Al Pieringer. Well, we want to get into God's Word today, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 22. And Proverbs chapter 22, we're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm veering from my study in Philippians. To talk about a subject that affects us individually, but it also affects us as a church. And so I want to talk about freeing ourselves from what binds us. Now, I want you to kind of get this picture in your head. You know, I want you to imagine someone who wanted to run a marathon, but the person who wants to run those 26.2 miles of a marathon decides to chain themselves up to an 18-wheeler. What's going to happen to someone when they chain themselves to an 18-wheeler trying to run a marathon? Well, they're not even going to get 5 feet, much less 26.2 miles. They're not going to get anywhere because they have this great burden that's holding them back. They don't have the freedom to do what it is that they want to do or to accomplish what it is that they want to accomplish. And so there's this burden that's been holding them back. Well, there's many who have a burden that's holding them back. And the church itself has a burden that's holding it back. And what God wants for us, and what would I think honor Christ the most, is that we would be free. Free of that burden. Break the chains and be free. Now, in my studies in Philippians, you know, Paul has said he desires to honor Christ in his body. He also tells the Philippians that they ought to live worthily of the gospel. Well, that should be our desire as well. But we're not going to be able to honor Christ in our body, and we're not going to be able to live worthily of the gospel unless we're free to do so. So what in the world am I specifically talking about? Well, it's given in this one verse, in verse 7 of Proverbs 22. And I want to talk, first I want, today I want to talk about the more practical, literal aspects of what's there, but then I also want to talk about some spiritual aspects and spiritual lessons that come with it before I close the sermon in some application. So look at that one verse. Let's read that one verse. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. And that's it. The wisdom of Solomon that is directed by God, and under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes this. He tells us that when someone is in debt to someone else, the lender has something that they can hold over the borrower. They have a power over the borrower. Until the debt is paid, the one who has borrowed is enslaved. And so that leads to the practical and literal point that I want to make today. So first today, I want to talk about a debt that we don't need. A debt that we don't need. So financial debt is likened to slavery because as the movement of the slave is limited, the slave has no freedom to make some personal choices and personal decisions, so it is with financial debt. Debt holds you back from being able to do or obtain what you need or what you want. So coming from the standpoint of when this is being written in the Old Testament, there were those who could be enslaved. If someone had become so indebted to another financially, the only way sometimes that they found to be able to do something about that debt is to put themselves in the service of the one to whom they are in debt. In order to pay the debt, they literally would become their slaves. And as we as individuals plunge ourselves into debt, pursuing the ever enticing and yet always elusive American dream, we come into that same situation. We are enslaved to the lender. Think about what's happening to our nation. You know, I think about our federal government, and the federal government is not a good role model financially. The federal government is a good role model for a whole lot of things, but, you know, the federal government is not a good role model of fiscal responsibility, to say the least, or we could say it's irresponsibility. When I was preparing the sermon this past week, you can look and see where the current national debt is, and currently the U.S. government is about $34.5 trillion in debt, growing at a rate of about 45,000 500 per second. But they keep on spending money like they actually have it. And one day that's going to come back and bite our nation. Guess what? That puts our government under the control of those who to whom we have the debt. And so it puts us in under the control and in debt of foreign nations like China. Sometimes it puts us under the power of entities like the Federal Reserve, and those entities could easily stop the supply of money and make demands upon the nation. They could tell us, well, in order for you to get more money to spend like mad, you have to do this or you have to do that. And so the federal government, in a sense, is enslaved to these people. We are enslaved to our debtors as well. So what is needed for someone who's in slavery? They need freedom. So if we don't want to be someone's slave, guess what that means? We need to get rid of the debt. And so I want you to consider first financial debt from a personal perspective. Now there's sometimes debts that we can't get around, like mortgages if we want to live in a house. But quite often what happens is we get in over our debt, over our head in debt, because of greed, because of envy, because of covetousness, without actually consideration of the long-term cost that it's going to really, how it's going to affect us in the long term. So we finance this and we finance that, and eventually we get in over our heads and we lose our freedom. Now I want to mention some things that the Bible teaches about debt. I want to give just a very, very quick summary of what the Bible tells us about debt. First, now, the Bible nowhere says that it is a sin to borrow. You know, there's some sins that can come because of the debt, but borrowing in and of itself is not sin. But the second summary is that the Bible teaches that it is unwise to borrow. Third, the Bible doesn't teach us that God will necessarily bail us out if we get in over our head. If you misuse your credit card, if you squander away your money, if you're not a good steward of that which God has given you, but then you think, God will get me out of this. I mean, he may not. God, here's a, sometimes I have these funny little sayings here. Here's an Al-ism. God doesn't always shield us from our own stupidity. Sometimes he does by grace. A lot of times he does by grace, but sometimes he doesn't. And so don't just think, well, I can get into all this debt and then God's going to bail me out one day. Not necessarily. A fourth summary is that the Bible teaches that debt is an evidence of lack of faith. You don't trust God to provide. And a fifth summary, the Bible teaches that all our debts must be repaid. You can't just say, well, I'm just not going to pay it back. Well, no. If you want to be obedient to God, you actually do. So all in all, getting oneself into debt is not a good thing, but there's a lot of reasons that we do it. For some, it's a lack of self-control. I mean, you see something that catches your eye, and it's just like, ooh, I have to get that. So we have this mentality, and, obviously our culture sure doesn't help, all the commercials and everything, it tries to drive this desire. Oh, I got to have this and I got to have it now. We have this mentality of needing something that we don't actually need, but I do need it. Even though I don't need it, I do need it, right? And so that gets us into a lot of trouble. For some, it's a lack of contentment. We want bigger, we want better, we want newer. Instead of being grateful for what it is that the Lord has provided, in our hearts, it's not enough. Now, that isn't to say we can't dream. It's not to say that we can't strive. It's not to say that we can't work hard toward something. But when you put yourself into debt in order to achieve, whatever it is you think that you need at that moment, I mean, that's the issue. We're not content with what we have right now. For some, getting into debt, it's from a search of security, thinking that somehow more stuff is going to make you safer. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs 11:28 that the person who trusts in riches shall fall, if that's where you put your trust. For others, people go into debt because they are searching for significance. We place our identity in the stuff we have. And so we think the more stuff we have, the more power, prestige, influence, or something I'm going to have. I need more toys, so these other people think more highly of me. I don't really care what God thinks of me. I really don't care what my family thinks of me. I want these people to be impressed. We think that we're going to be more accepted by those around us. Now, for some, debt does come because of unforeseen circumstances, be it a health emergency or whatever. But let's be honest, those are very few and far between. We get into debt for many of the wrong reasons. And what are some of the ills that come with being in debt? I think of a passage in Nehemiah 5 where they talk about what's happening to them because they're in debt and there's a famine going on and all sorts of problems. So this is what it says in Nehemiah 5. It says, there were those who said, we're mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our houses to get grain because of the famine. And there were those who said, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our fields and our vineyards. Now our flesh is as the flesh of our brothers, our children as their children, yet we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves. And some of our daughters have already been enslaved. But it is not in our power to help it, for other men have our fields and our vineyards. Do you hear the anguish of their cry? We're in this debt, and now all of this is happening to us. They're on the brink of losing everything because of it. There is no freedom for them. So what can you do personally? What can you do personally? First, stop borrowing. If you're already in debt, stop digging your hole further down. So think about this. Nobody ever got out of a ditch by digging down even further. You just lose more ground by doing that. Secondly, get help setting up a budget. Develop new spending habits. That does not include credit, right? Get to know Dave Ramsey or someone like that, right? And his system. Someone once wisely said, it wasn't me, but someone once wisely said, if your output exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall. That's pretty wise there. But I want us to consider today not only the problems of debt when it comes to our personal finances and our personal life, but also the problems of a debt for the church. A church that is in debt has its hands so tied down that it cannot do ministry the way that it seeks to do. The money and the resources aren't there to reach out into the community because the money has more of an inward focus. And that's where we find ourselves as a church. About 13 or so years ago, Harvest Baptist Church built its gym building and made some renovations to the education building and in the sanctuary here and incurred some debt in order to accomplish it. Now, I like the gym building. In fact, I love the gym building and I love the sanctuary. And, well, the education building is going to get fixed. It's going to take a few months, but the education will get fixed and then I'll love it again after it gets fixed. But here's what I want for us as a church. I want freedom. I want freedom. Right now, we're not free. We're not free to be a bigger blessing to the community. We're not free to do ministry like we wanted to, all because of debt. At this moment, okay, don't anybody pass out here. But at this moment, what we owe on the loan is roughly $1.9 million. And because it's a typical business type loan, you know, you renegotiate the loan every few years. So our time for renegotiation comes up in July of 2027. Now, right now, we have a pretty good interest rate because, you know, we did the renegotiation when the interest rates were low. But, you know, when 2027 comes around, yeah, it's not going to be as good as we have it now. That's for sure. So what do we do? Well, we get out of debt and we taste freedom. And so what I'm proposing, I'm calling it the Freedom Challenge, because I want us to challenge, I want to challenge you to get us some freedom, right? I want to challenge me to get us some freedom if you want to go to the next slide. The challenge to the church is to make extra payments on the principal of the loan so that the entire thing is paid off by April of 2027. That means in 3 years, I want to pay off $1.9 million worth of debt. And y'all are, I can see it in your eyes, y'all are looking at me and you're saying, Al, you have done lost your mind. Well, that's besides the point. Yeah, I may have lost my mind in many other things, but what we need to remember is that what is impossible for man is possible with God. God is sovereign over all resources, and he can make it happen if we trust him and we live faithfully and obediently to him. So when I got my master's degree, I went to Mid-America Baptist Seminary, which is in the Memphis area. And every year at Founders Days, they would recap the amazing story about how the seminary started and what God did for the seminary. And I remember part of the story that was told was that there was a point in time, if you don't know the history of Mid-America, you know, they kind of grew when the Southern Baptist Convention, the seminaries were a little bit more liberal, so they kind of grew up from that. But you know, they relied on people giving. And they came to a period of time when they needed money and they couldn't even pay the salaries. So they had a prayer meeting with the faculty and someone prayed, in this prayer meeting, someone prayed, Lord, according to Scripture, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. So could you sell some of that cattle and give us some of those funds? No joke. That same week, they received a check for the amount that they needed from someone in Texas who literally had sold some of their cattle and sent them the funds. Couldn't God do the same thing for us? I think so. So, I obviously didn't have the slide with the Freedom Challenge thing on it that I thought I did, but what I'm asking you is to make donations to what is called the Freedom Challenge. That's how you would market, the Freedom Challenge. All money that is donated to the Freedom Challenge will go directly to pay the principal of the loan. And every month, with whatever money that we receive for the Freedom Challenge, we'll make a payment toward the principal and we'll knock this thing down. Now, there's just a few things that need to be said, though. First, this is above and beyond your tithe. I mean, we would kind of be shooting ourselves in the foot if we gave to the Freedom Challenge and we didn't give to the church because the church couldn't function. So we still want the church to function. But then second, this is above and beyond anything you're currently giving to the building fund, because, you know, we still have to make the monthly payments, and whatever isn't given to the building fund has to come out of the budget. And so again, we would be shooting ourselves in the foot, because we want to be able to do ministry. So this afternoon, there's going to be an email that's going out that reiterates some of this. But I want you to prayerfully consider, what can I give to the Freedom Challenge? And let's get our church free. I want freedom for our church. And I don't know about you, I'm excited about the concept of being free. I have no doubt that once we're free, that even more ministry opportunities are going to open themselves up. More opportunities than we expected could even ever happen. So think about the Freedom Challenge. But, you know, in talking about debt and freedom, I want to touch upon some spiritual lessons for today. Because we talked about a debt we don't need. But then I also want to talk about a debt that we all owe. The Bible talks about not being in debt in the physical monetary sense. And yet in another sense, the Bible says that we have some spiritual obligations. Spiritually, we have some obligations. You don't want to be financially in debt. But spiritually, we do have some obligations. To whom? First, we are indebted to God. We are indebted to God. Not that we'd ever be able to actually be able to like repay God for all that he gives or does. I mean, and I don't want to hint that we somehow work toward God's favor, but in a real sense, we feel an indebtedness to God for at least two reasons that I want to mention. First, we are indebted to God as creator, sustainer, and giver of all things. God made us and all that we have, and the only reason we have life, and the only reason we have all that we have is because God gave it to us. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast like you didn't receive it? I mean, how can you sit there and think that that everything you have, you got on your own, and God had no part in it? God gave you everything that you have. And so we're indebted to him out of gratefulness because we have what we have. But then we owe God another way. We are in debt to God for redeeming us. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And so Peter is warning us to always have in the back of our minds that we have been bought. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus died to bring us back to God. Our sins separated us from God. Jesus died to bring us back to God. And the writer of Hebrews says, anytime you treat that lightly, you're trampling on Jesus' blood. Of course, you know, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Salvation is the biggest debt we ever had. Our sin put us in debt to God, and Jesus paid that debt, our sin debt to God. And we have been freed from that debt. But what the Bible says is, in a sense, when Jesus paid that debt, we were bought. And because we were bought by God, we belong to God because he paid for us. So, you know, knowing that God, through Christ, purchased our salvation, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You don't belong to yourself. God bought you through Christ. And so we owe him everything in gratefulness and thankfulness. But not only do we have a debt to God, the next, we are indebted to other people. We are indebted to other people. The Bible speaks of things that we owe to other people. What do we owe? Well, first, the Bible talks about a debt that we have to fellow believers. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, Paul says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So Paul says that the debt that we owe one another as believers in Jesus Christ is love. And after this verse, he talks about some of the Ten Commandments. He talks about the Old Testament law and says, you know what? When you follow these commandments, you are fulfilling love, because you're not going to murder someone if you love them. You're not going to steal from someone if you love them. You're not going to lie about someone if you love them. Love fulfills the law. This is especially true, you know, for believers. There's this special bond that we have that we don't have with other people. So Jesus says in John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I think Jesus is trying to emphasize a point there. love one another. Our debt to fellow believers in Jesus Christ is unconditional love, agape love, serving love for one another. But then, next, the Bible talks about our debt to unbelievers. In Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 16, Paul writes, "I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you, also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So Paul's saying, I want to come to Rome because I want to bear some fruit to Rome. And what that fruit is the souls of men. I want to come out there and share the good news, he says, because I am under obligation. I have a debt that is owed, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because God was so gracious to save him. He says, I feel an obligation to go out there and share that same good news so the rest of humanity can be saved, so the rest of humanity can hear the life-giving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to feel that same obligation. Because if someone didn't share with us the gospel of Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life, we'd be lost in our sins. But we have been given the message of the gospel. What are we going to do? Keep it to ourselves? Hey, I have good news about how you have eternal life, but I'm not going to tell you. Why wouldn't we? I mean, suppose that there was this dreaded life-threatening disease that everyone, including yourself, was getting, but there is medicine that would cure it, and someone gives you the medicine and also gives you a supply of medicine to share with other people. What would you do? Would you just sit on that medicine and just be glad you're the one that's not sick anymore? Wouldn't you feel an obligation to share that medicine with others who have that disease? We have the good news of Jesus Christ. What are we going to say? Well, at least I'm not going to hell, but I don't care about anybody else. I mean, I'm not the one going to hell. They might be, but that's not me. Boy, how selfish. And so this is what the obligation that we have toward unbelievers. So we're indebted to God, we're indebted to other people, but then next, we are indebted to the church. We are indebted to the church. Paul says in Galatians 6:6, let everyone who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. So this verse, along with 1 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through 12 and other verses, they talk about support that's owed to Christian workers, but more generally, I mean, to the church through which those workers work. Paul is saying that you, as a church member, you sit there and you reap the benefits of the work of the church. You reap the love, you reap the encouragement, you reap the discipleship. Therefore, you have a debt to the ministry of the church. If you're sitting under the blessings of a church, then you support the church and what it does for the Lord's work. Paul is saying the church has sown into you spiritual things. The church has sown into you spiritual wealth. It shouldn't be that big of an issue for you to support the church with material things that are needed to fulfill the ministry. And so there's a debt we don't need. That's financial debt. That enslaves us. But spiritually, there is a debt that we owe toward God, we owe toward our fellow man, and that we owe toward the church. Now, I want to conclude by answering the question, all right, what do we do? What is our response? And so let me give you three responses. First, give God your devotion. Give God your devotion. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 116, verses 12 through 14, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. You know what? The Lord has so blessed me, I am going to devote my life to him. I'm going to devote my talents. I'm going to devote my possessions. I'm going to devote everything to him. Everything that I have, everything that I am, I'm devoting to the Lord so that his name is made great and he receives the glory and honor. But then, next, you give people your ministry. You give God devotion, but you give people your ministry. Jesus told his disciples to go forth and minister. I mean, for them, according to Matthew 10:8, it meant heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. So I owe ministry to brothers and sisters, and I owe ministry to all people in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to love on believers. I'm going to share the gospel with unbelievers. I have freely received God's grace. I'm going to freely give and extend that out to others so that they know as well. So we give God our devotion. We give other people our ministry. Then third, we give the church our support. Give the church your support. The Lord said through the prophet Malachi in Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10, will man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the window of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. You give, you receive. Now, that's not like a health and wealth thing, but God is just saying, look, test me on this. See if you're not being faithful to the ministry, how I will bless you. I will bless you spiritually. I will bless you, and you will see how I bless you. Give to the church your prayers. Give to the church your time. Give to the church your talent. Give to the church your resources. Give to the ministry of the church. We have an obligation to God. We have an obligation to man. We have an obligation to the church. And maybe you need to come to the altar today and allow God to speak to you about fulfilling your debts, how you can fulfill your debts, and how you personally can receive some freedom from what it is that is binding you so that you're not living for the Lord as you ought. And then pray about how you can get out of your financial debt and fulfill your spiritual obligations. Come and pray about how you can help the church get out of its debt. Come and pray that God would do the impossible. Come and pray that God would, this church would just see God do such a great movement in our midst. Still, there are others today. You are in the greatest debt that there is, sin debt. You are still in your sins. You have broken God's law, and all of us have. But you are not able to pay that back. You are not able to wipe that clean. And so God Himself offered the way to wipe away your sin debt, your eternal debt, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Who paid that debt on the cross? You know, in a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Good Friday. That's a misnomer. That wasn't Good Friday. That was Great Friday. That was like the most awesome Friday that there was, because Jesus died in our place. And then we get to celebrate the fact that He didn't stay dead. He rose again. That's how we know Jesus is able to take care of that debt. And if you have not trusted and believed in Jesus Christ, if you have not repented, turning toward your own life and turning toward God, and believed in Jesus Christ, you are still in that sin debt, and you will spend eternity trying to pay it off and never will. Or you can trust in Jesus Christ and have it wiped clean completely. But you have to believe in Jesus Christ. And so during the invitation, I'm going to be up front. I will introduce you to my Jesus, and I will tell you how your sin debt can be completely erased. Never, ever to be held over your head again. Right now, you are enslaved in sin. Now taste freedom in Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of Harvest Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at harvest-baptist.org or find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. You can also find info on our children's ministry on Facebook at Harvest Baptist Children's Ministry or on Instagram at kidsquest_HBC. our student ministries on Facebook at HBC Vertical Student Ministry, and on Instagram at VSM_HBC. We welcome you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We are located at 8999 Waltrana Highway in Harvest, Alabama. Thanks for listening, and God bless.